Well, Merry Christmas and welcome back to Lawn Gospel live in studio this December 26th. I'm Roland Lettner. I'm in for Tom Baker, who is in parts unknown, celebrating Christmas in a true Law and Gospel style, I'm sure. Today, as we begin the program, the question on my mind is, who are the Jehovah's Witnesses? There's an outfit out there called the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society. Some have said they're just another Christian denomination. Some have said they're not. Some have even gone so far as to call them a cult. And in trying to answer this question, I have called upon a good friend, an associate of mine for many years, Kay Meyer, who is the founder, president, and, of course, radio host of Family Shield Ministries. And I have to admit that she is the woman who gave me my big showbiz radio break by letting me fill in for her a couple of times. And as you can see, it's gotten me this far.
I thought you just have this great radio voice, and that's wonderful. Thank you.
Well, welcome, Kay. Merry Christmas.
Thanks for inviting me, and Merry Christmas to you, too. I hope your family had a great holiday.
They did. How about yours?
Oh, wonderful.
Spoil the grandkids?
Well, our grandkids are in Houston, but we sure sent them a lot of gifts, but they weren't here. So our daughter's actually going in for her third baby tomorrow.
Well, congratulations.
Yeah, we're excited about it.
Do you know
if
it's a boy or a girl?
We know it's a boy, yeah. And it's been a boy that has kept her on partial bed rest since she was 23 weeks. She's now 38 weeks, I think.
My wife can relate. Both of our kids did that.
Oh, my goodness. That is really challenging.
Roland, bring me this. Roland, bring me that. I remember those days.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, Kay, let's talk about the Jehovah's Witnesses, because when you started this years and years ago, that's sort of what drew your attention spiritually, is witnessing to people that were in cults or had family members that were in cults. Now, Family Shield's been around for 13 years.
1994 is when we made the paperwork to become a nonprofit organization. But I witnessed to my first Jehovah's Witness in 1981, somebody that had a stepdaughter that was friends with my daughter. They were 8 years old at the time, so you can see how many years ago that was. And Corrine came home after spending the night at Kathy's house with her friend Amy, who lived just a block or so away from us. And she said, "Mom, Kathy's and Terry are Jehovah's Witnesses, and they asked me lots of questions about the Bible, and they prayed to Jehovah at dinner." And I, as a stay-at-home mom, was like, "Oh, what is my daughter being exposed to?" And I started asking the same question you asked at the very beginning. Who are Jehovah's Witnesses and what do they believe? Because I had heard that through our church that they were a cult, and I didn't know what that meant.
Well, what is a cult? How do you identify a cult? I mean,
that's a big term, but let's just there are several ways to classify Christian organizations that are outside of the body of Christ. And a cult can be a Muslim cult. It can be a Christian cult. It can be another. It's a break off of a religion. So let's say Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons, we consider, within the body of Christ, we consider them Christian cults. And Ron Rhodes defines a cult as a cult of Christianity is a group that claims to be Christian. That's very important. They claim to be Christian, but they're not, because they deny at least one of the central doctrines of historic Christian faith. Almost always, they deny the deity of Jesus Christ. They make Jesus less than he is. They have an authority head. Joseph Smith, the Mormons, Russell, the founder of the Watchtower Society, they're always faith plus works. And they usually have secret knowledge, and they'll say they're the only true religion. So they're a cult. They're not another religion. They're a cult of Christianity.
This, I thought, was a great topic for Law and Gospel, because a lot of these cults tend to get one-sided in that equation, and that is law, law, law.
Oh, very much so.
And the Jehovah's Witnesses are prime for that. But can you just give me sort of a short definition of what a Jehovah's Witness is? And is it they do fall into that category of being a Christian cult, or are they even so far out of the mainstream that you can't call them that?
No, you would definitely call them a Christian cult. They call themselves Christians. They preach a false Christ and a false gospel. That is the core difference. There are many other issues. They are very law-oriented. They have to do a lot of work to prove to Jehovah and to them, Jehovah is just the Father. Jesus is not Jehovah. The Holy Spirit is not God. So they deny the Trinity. They deny that Christ suffering and death on the cross atoned for the sins of all people. They have to work really hard. And they deny almost every Christian belief that we teach, which is always amazing when they call themselves Christians. In my book, A Mission Field on Our Doorstep, I say this: they deny the basic characteristics of Jesus' deity, the personage of the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, the second coming of Christ. They deny hell. They deny that there is a oneness in the body of Christ. They deny Jesus' suffering, death, and resurrection are sufficient for salvation. And they deny that the soul lives on beyond death. So real quickly, I mean, there are a lot of things we can go into, but they're a religion of denial, and yet they say they are Jehovah's Christian witnesses, and they are the only true church.
Which is another sign of a cult,
they
claim to have exclusive truth that no one else has, and also special revelation that no one else has.
Absolutely.
They're the keepers of the true faith. So you mentioned Charles Russell. He was the instigator,
The founder.
That was when? Back in the
1830, I believe, is when he started. And he was he was raised in a Christian home, but he, as a very young child, decided he didn't believe in the Trinity, and he kind of threw it out. And then he began studying the Bible on his own. And took the name pastor, but he had no theological training.
Well, he also did something else, which is he rewrote parts of the Bible, didn't he? Or did
that came later. Their New World Translation is their translation of the Bible. It's not recognized by any Greek or Hebrew scholar. And that did come later. I don't think he wrote a lot. He wrote studies in the scripture. I have one of his original books, The Time is at Hand, where he predicted the end of the world. And I don't have the exact date, but in their original prediction was in the late 1800s. Today, they focus on the year 1914.
Well, I'm going to assume that since you and I are still sitting here today, that event did not come to pass.
Right.
Doesn't anyone notice this? Don't the JWs have a problem when they look back at their founder and their other church leaders who have made all these predictions over the years about Christ coming back multiple times? What does that do to their faith? And what would make you want to be a JW with that sort of a track record?
Well, a lot of times the organization, now the thing that I tell people is the false prophet, and God's word is very clear about what is a false prophet and what is a true prophet of God. The false prophet is the organization, not the people. A lot of times we get this information and then we want to attack the Jehovah's Witnesses at our door, and they don't know about this. The organization is very good at keeping these things quiet. I've had many conversations with active Jehovah's Witnesses, but most of the time when they really start researching the false prophecies of the organization, this is the crack in the watchtower that will eventually bring them out if they are honest and if they really check this out. I have a track that we give away, Whom Can You Trust? And it talks about their many false prophets. But in that book that I said I had, I found at a garage sale, The Time is at Hand, it says in that book on page 101, the battle of the great day of God Almighty ended in 1914 AD with the complete overthrow of the earth's present rulership. Well, guess what? It didn't happen. And they had already proved themselves to be a false prophet. But again, the people don't know about these predictions because the organization kind of covers it up. They change it. Sometimes they change their beliefs as they move forward.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you, because Charles Russell sort of had a falling out near the end of his life where he was involved in many slander suits that he lost, that he was being challenged in court by, I guess, other religious figures of the day, because he was big at condemning mainline Christian denominations, you know, Roman Catholics, Lutherans, and so on. Mm-hmm. And then the next fellow comes along, and his name is Joseph Rutherford, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, from what I've read, what's interesting about Rutherford is he was a man of his time because he looked at the technology that was available to him.
That's right.
And I'm sort of giving a preview here about what's coming up, because you're big on the Internet and witnessing on the Internet. In his day, he looked at phonographic records where he would record his sermons, record his messages, and then send them out and distribute them. And what would have been a dying organization suddenly had a resurgence of membership because of this.
Right. Absolutely. That's true. And a lot of the different leaders brought different gifts to the organization, and they used the technology of the day. They used to go through the streets with this blaring. But then, I think it was Knorr came along, and he was a very quiet leader, but he said, no, we have to train the people so they can articulate this themselves. And they trained them. They taught them how to go door to door and teach their beliefs. And that's what they still do today, one-on-one.
As I mentioned at the top of the program, this is Wednesday, December 26th. We're live in studio. I'm Roland Lettner. Kay Meyer is my guest from Family Shield Ministries. Come in and join the conversation with us if you have questions about cults or the Jehovah's Witnesses. We are alive. Excuse me, alive. I just took my pulse. We are alive. 505-785. The wonders of live radio, I'm learning. 505-785 locally here in the St. Louis metropolitan area. If you happen to be outside of the local area, 1-800-730-2727. We are, of course, much as your program, Kay, on the World Wide Web with AM850KFUO. So if you don't happen to be in St. Louis or close by, call anyway. We enjoy hearing from you guys. So, Kay, we were talking about this. Now, that was an interesting point that you made, that they were sort of able to flex and change with the times.
Mm-hmm.
And the latest version of the Jehovah's Witnesses, as you said, are more of a one-on-one personal. But this isn't sort of like you sitting down over a cup of coffee with a friend and going, you know, this is my faith in Christ. They're trained in specific techniques that when they come and knock on the door, that they are looking specifically to catch you unaware at that moment, right? Or am I off base?
Well, first of all, they're always looking for people that know nothing. Like someone like me, my house has been marked for years. They never come to my house unless it's an accident.
What do you mean your house is marked?
My house is marked. They have papers. And if people have done a good job of articulating and sharing their beliefs with witnesses, your house will be marked and they skip it. I mean, they literally will skip our house after all of these years. They still skip our house.
So it's like during the Depression where the hobos would mark the curb where they could get a sandwich?
Yeah, I guess so.
My goodness.
But they're looking, they're not looking for mature, knowledgeable Christians. They are looking for people that don't know much. They are usually not looking for a totally unchurched person. They're looking for someone that's dissatisfied with the denomination that they're in. And often they will use hooks to get you involved in discussions related to a lot of the problems in the body of Christ. We're all sinners.
I've heard they're very aggressive in what they do.
They can be very aggressive. Depends on the person, just like there are many Christians that are very aggressive and sometimes can be maybe not so kind in the way they approach people. But they're looking. And then they have stages of involvement. They visit in the home one-on-one for as long as it takes if someone's interested. Then they'll begin individual home Bible studies, again, for as long as it takes. Eventually, they'll be, if they think they're right for the organization, they'll be invited to a group home Bible study. And long time after that, they may be baptized into the Watchtower Society's organization, which is not the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit baptism. And eventually then, if they get involved and actually become active, they will rise through the ranks. The men will become elders. They'll be pioneers. Pioneer goes out 90 hours a month, door to door, witnessing of their false teachings, unfortunately.
Now, when they came out of World War II, and there were some changes again in the Watchtower Society, they went away from being called the Watchtower Society to being called the Jehovah's Witnesses. What is the purpose of Jehovah's Witnesses? Why do they choose that name?
Well, actually, the organization's name is the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society. That is the official name. The people are the Jehovah's Witnesses.
Okay.
And they weren't called that initially in the very beginning, and so that's probably what you're thinking of. It was, I don't remember the exact year, but they are Jehovah's Witnesses. And again, they believe that the word Jehovah is the it actually is a false rendering of Yahweh, but it was, they believe it was taken out of the Bible years ago by scribes, and it needs to be restored. And again, they're Jehovah's Christian Witnesses. They're going to witness for Jehovah, who to them is God the Father.
The reason I wanted to take time and discuss their background and their beliefs is going back to Peter, where he says, you should always be ready to have an answer for the hope that is in you. And you mentioned a moment ago, and we talked about, they are looking for people who are unaware. They want to catch you with your guard down.
Absolutely.
What does that tell Christians about how prepared they should be to answer for the faith that they have?
Well, it's one of the challenges that we face in the church today is that we teach a lot of baby stuff. And there's nothing wrong with the basics and the beginnings. We need those things. We can't grow to maturity if we don't have the foundational beliefs. But we don't move beyond the basics many times in our church. We're biblically illiterate in many of our churches. I had a conversation a few weeks ago with two women about Mormonism, and they're members of my church, and they said, oh, well, no, they're not a cult. Well, what do they really believe something other than what we believe about God? They had no idea, and they weren't interested in knowing either. Not that we were, you know, it was just an interesting conversation. It is so typical today for people to not understand theological issues, not be able to discern truth from error. And it's one of our goals through Family Shield to help equip Christians so that they can discern truth from error, so that they do know what God's word says, so that they can look at an agency like an organization like this and say, oh, well, that's not what the Bible teaches. Well, it's difficult because it means ongoing reading of God's word, involved in Bible studies, hearing the word from the pulpit each week, and digesting it and allowing the Holy Spirit to help us.
Well, there's also a consequence to not being prepared, and you've worked with families, I'm sure, that have lost children, spouses to these cults.
Mm-hmm. Many.
And there's a dire consequence to that, because it's not just breaking up the family, but it's also the eternal consequence of those people being lost to, well, you can't talk about it in terms other than saying they are going to face the eternal damnation that's theirs.
Yeah.
For denying Christ.
Unfortunately, they think they are so good, and they think they are doing everything right, and they are very sincere people. And I know many of them that I like them, but they are sincerely wrong, and they need to hear the law and the gospel clearly. The problem with most Jehovah's Witnesses that I have ever met is they don't want to talk about their sins. They see themselves as pretty good, and it's very hard to get them to acknowledge that they sin. They don't see their own sins. They think they are very good people, and they're doing a lot of good stuff for the Lord, but they're denying Jesus Christ and the gospel message.
Well, I've heard people call this very program, who are not Jehovah's Witnesses but are other denominational Christians who preach the same thing, about not being involved in sin anymore. So what we're talking about is when you talk about the Jehovah's Witnesses and how you might talk with one of them when they come to your front door, you might also have similar conversations with your next-door neighbor over the fence.
Absolutely.
When they say, well, I'm a good person.
I never do anything wrong. Just acknowledging. And when I am witnessing to anyone, I use myself as an example. Let's look at the Ten Commandments. Well, and I won't talk to, what did you do wrong? I'll say, well, I sat in church, and sometimes my mind is wandering. I'm not paying attention, and I'm sinning. And I use myself as an example, hopefully then for them to see that, maybe I sin too.
How much do you really have to know about the Jehovah's Witnesses to be able to witness to them? I mean, they have this, you know, what's their view? Let's just break it down a little bit. We have a few minutes before the bottom of the hour break. 505-7850 and 1-800-730-2727 if anyone would like to call and join in. They have an idea of eternity as being this world simply perfected, a restored earth. Is that right?
Well, they believe in two kingdoms. The heavenly kingdom is the 144,000 people. They misinterpret what Revelation says about the 144,000. And that is the heavenly kingdom. That is where Jehovah God and Jesus Christ will be, and 144,000 people in the heavenly kingdom. The rest of them will be on what is, yes, restored paradise earth. And in all of my years of witnessing, I've never met Jehovah's Witnesses that believe they're going to the heavenly kingdom. And by the way, only those in the heavenly kingdom are born again, according to their teachings. All of them that I've met think they're going to be on paradise restored earth.
What's their view of death?
They don't believe in hell. And they do not believe that your soul is separate from your body. Your soul, when you die, your soul goes in the grave with you.
So it's easy if you take someone who's in a situation where, say, they lose a loved one, and a JW would approach them and would say, how could a loving God send anyone to hell?
Yeah.
And that's where they would take advantage, and you have to be able to answer for that.
Right.
Now, with this restored earth, that's sort of the whole theme that they have, is that you're going to be living in a peaceful, tranquil world. It'll be a restoration of the Garden of Eden, I would guess.
Yes, it is kind of like that. And that is really their gospel, Roland, and that's very important. I always start and stop with, they teach a false Christ and they teach a false gospel. They talk about Christ. They talk about the gospel. That's the terminology differences that we have to deal with. But their gospel is that there's going to be a restored earth. That is their gospel. Their gospel is not that Jesus Christ suffered and died for our sins, and that that through his death and resurrection, we have forgiveness of our sins. They talk about those things, but that's not the gospel they come to your door preaching.
So to them, Jesus is a God, but not the God. They're not Trinitarian, because to them, Jesus is a created being. The Holy Spirit is just sort of a ethereal energy source from which you draw inspiration or, I guess, some sort of comfort. They also are very big on avoiding the Bible, but dealing with all these tracts and information that's put out by the Watchtower Society. It's almost like they're extra-biblical in their beliefs.
Well, they do have their own translation, and they like people to read the New World Translation. But very honestly, yes, most of their beliefs come from the Watchtower magazine, the Awake magazine, and they are a publishing organization. They publish book after book after book that people are encouraged to buy for every member of their family.
Okay. And as we get ready to roll to the bottom of the hour break, salvation to them is not a free gift from God, as we would understand it. You have to earn this place on this improved earth.
Right. It's works-oriented. None of them know for certain that they have eternal life or even forgiveness. It is not something they will ever know for sure until after their life is over. That's so sad.
Well, that seems to me to be much in common with other faiths that are out there today. It's almost like being a Muslim, where if you're a good Muslim, you rely on the mercy of Allah because you can't tell if he's going to look upon you favorably or not, which leads me back to, why in the world would you then want to believe and put all of your eternal hope in something where it's really just like picking up a pair of dice and rolling them across the table? Sometimes it comes up seven, sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah, we never understand completely why so many are led to be so committed to that.
Well, as we go into our break here, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. I'm Roland Lettner, in for Tom Baker. This is Law and Gospel. Kay Meyer, Family Shield Ministries, is my guest, and we're talking about Jehovah's Witnesses and witnessing to them. We'll be back in a moment.
Hi, I'm Mark Hawkinson, inviting you to join me for a relaxing 3 hours of music, prayer, insights into Scripture, a little humor as well, all packaged for your enjoyment and faith strengthening. You'll hear stories that will uplift you, a Christian spin on some news items, and lots of encouragement for your faith and your life from the Word of God. So join me, won't you? That's Jubilation every Sunday afternoon, beginning at 105 right here on AM 850 KFUO.
The broadcast ministry of Worldwide KFUO touches lives, including yours. Keep in mind that when you listen, you're learning about God's saving love through His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Can you help support our broadcast ministry? Visit our website at kfuoam.org and find out how when you click on the Give Now button. It's quick, easy, safe, and secure. The Give Now button is on our homepage at kfuoam.org.
I'm Dr. Bill Meyer with the James Dobson Family Minute. How should a parent respond when a child knocks over a drink or leaves his bike out on the rain or forgets his books at school? My colleague Dr. James Dobson explains.
It's going to happen in childhood. A little child is not physiologically ready to do everything right yet. And when he makes those mistakes and blunders and he forgets, if it's not willful, if it's not deliberate, if it's just an expression of immaturity, you should handle it with understanding and love, and I wouldn't even let him know you were terribly displeased with him.
Kids are bound to have accidents and display immature forgetfulness. That's all part of growing up. And that's the point. They haven't grown up yet. So plan ahead of time how you're going to react. Getting angry with a child or punishing him for every childish mistake can crush his spirit. For more on raising happy, healthy kids, go to focusonyourchild.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mark, host of Life Revised. Join my co-host, Michelle, and me as we journey through the Christmas story through the eyes of Mary, Joseph, and the wise men. All of these key players in the Christmas drama displayed a great faith. Join us and discover where your faith journey can take you on Life Revised, because life is a series of revisions.
Saturday mornings at 9:30 on AM 850 KFUO.
Hi, I'm Pastor Doug Nicely. Probably the last thing we want to think about on the Sunday after Christmas is the story of the little boys of Bethlehem who were killed by the jealous rage of King Herod, and about Jesus being delivered in Egypt. It's when the angel sent Jesus, Mary, and Joseph there for safety. We'll talk about the holy innocents and about Jesus still being our Savior and Deliverer this week on In His Steps.
Listen to In His Steps Saturday at noon with Pastor Doug Nicely on AM 850 KFUO.
The broadcast ministry of Worldwide KFUO touches lives, including yours. Keep in mind that when you listen, you're learning about God's saving love through His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Can you help support our broadcast ministry? Visit our website at kfuoam.org and find out how when you click on the Give Now button. It's quick, easy, safe, and secure. The Give Now button is on our homepage at kfuoam.org.
How do you deal with someone who doesn't believe there's such a thing as right or wrong? Recently on Issues, Etc., Greg Kokel suggested using a hot button.
Nobody is really a relativist. A hot button is a thing that matters morally to that individual, like gay bashing or forcing your morality on other people or forcing your religion on other people or something like that. So I encourage people to keep their ears open for what might turn out to be that person's hot button, and then relativize it. So if they complain about the Christian who's against homosexuality, you might say, well, you're not forcing your morality on me, are you? You don't think it's wrong for me to be a gay basher, do you? You play by their rules for a little while, for the sake of argument, to see what they think about it. And that's where I'd want to say, hey, let's face it, you're not really a relativist. You could talk that way, but you don't live that way.
Listen for Issues, Etc., weekdays 3 to 6 on AM 850 KFUO.
And we are live back in studio, December 26th. This is Law and Gospel. I'm Roland Lettner. I'm filling in for, as is my habit now, Tom Baker when he's not around. I'm talking with Kay Meyer, who is the founder, president, and radio voice of Family Shield Ministries. We're talking about Jehovah's Witnesses, but more importantly, we're also talking about witnessing to people of other faiths or other denominations. When you get into those conversations about, I believe this, you believe that, and how you can be prepared. And this is a good outline, because the beauty of the Jehovah's Witnesses is you don't have to go out and find them. They come to your doorstep, which is why you wrote the book.
Yeah, my book, Mission Field on Our Doorstep, Jehovah's Witnesses.
Now, that book is still available?
Yes, it is still available. In fact, I would be willing to give three of them away to anyone that calls. I especially like to give them away to people that have family members or friends involved, but I don't know if we have a call screener today, but if they...
Yes, we do.
Okay. If they want to call in, what's that number, Lauren?
505-78... Good. You do radio for a living, don't you? 505-7850 here in the St. Louis area, 1-800-730-2727 from anywhere that you can hear us over worldwide KFUO. Why would someone want to read that book, Kay?
Well, again, you talked earlier about that we have to become equipped. And if you talking to a Jehovah's Witness is dangerous for a baby Christian to do, because they are equipped to twist scripture, and people have become involved, have become Jehovah's Witnesses because they didn't know much and they listened to them. So if you're going to try to witness to them, you must grow in your faith. And as you grow in your faith, you're going to grow in your understanding of who Jesus is, who the Father is, who
but
the Holy Spirit
is. But I go to church
is.
Every Sunday. Isn't
it's
that enough?
Not enough. I mean, it's certainly what we should be doing. We don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. But a Bible study, our spiritual growth, is not usually what happens in church. We worship.
Well, let me ask you this. There's some quirky things about Jehovah's Witnesses that I've heard. And you tell me if this is just folklore, if there's some truth to it. They don't want anything to do with blood transfusions.
That's absolutely correct.
What's that all about?
Well, they believe there is Bible verses that talk about not eating blood. And they take that and they say that it actually they will encourage family members. If a child is in an accident and needs a blood transfusion, they are not supposed to have that blood transfusion. They would rather let their child die, or their husband die, or their mother or wife die, rather than have a blood transfusion, because they believe it goes against Jehovah's laws. Now, very honestly, the Bible does talk about eating blood, but a blood transfusion goes into the circulatory system. So we have a tract that we give away. Again, we purchase tracts and we give them away on various topics, and one of them is on, is the blood transfusion wrong? Well, no, it's not.
Now, they don't vote, and as I understand, they don't do military service.
That's right.
What would the reason for that be?
Again, they usually will take a proof text from the Bible and say we shouldn't go to war. You know, they just believe war is wrong. It's killing. They don't. If you're saluting the flag, you are worshiping your country. That's what they think. So again, they're taking some small verses and they're twisting them around. But those are some of their small issues. I always tell people, don't, you know, get in a frenzy over the fact that they don't want to say the Pledge of Allegiance. They don't sit on a jury. The only small minor doctrine that I think is important for us to be able to respond to is the blood transfusion, because I think statistically about 1,000 Jehovah's Witnesses a year die. I believe that's only United States. It might be worldwide, because they don't have a blood transfusion. So that knowing how to respond to that can save lives.
Well, we just celebrated and are still celebrating, because we're in the season of Christmas. Uh-huh. And Christmas is not just a one-day event. There's much more tied to it. Who in the world would not want to celebrate the birth of the Savior? But they don't recognize any holidays, so to speak. They don't even celebrate birthdays, do they?
No, they do not. There's only two verses in the Bible that talk about birthdays, and they're both pagan celebrations. So again, they call it pagan celebrations. They say, well, Jesus wasn't really born on December 25th. That's true. But I always say to them, but look at how many verses God's Word uses, chapters and verses, to talk about the birth of Jesus Christ. A lot of this actually divides families. We work with a lot of family members and friends of Jehovah's Witnesses, and because they don't celebrate Christmas, they won't let you put up a Christmas tree, they won't give gifts. We get all these calls from grandparents that are just, I want to give my grandchild a Christmas present, but I can't. I want to get together during the holidays, but they won't. So it divides families and causes great havoc and great, great concern for Christian family members.
And that's another sign of a cult. They are not opposed to separating in a most, even though some cults, I'm not saying the Jehovah's Witnesses, even to a point of almost violence, separating families, dividing them for the sake of retaining those members in that organization.
Isolation is a key with Jehovah's Witnesses and many cults. They isolate the member from loved ones that care about them by having these rules and regulations. So they don't get together for holidays. And all of a sudden, then, when do you usually see your relatives? During holidays. So you don't get together. It also causes arguments, and family members get mad because they won't let them, they won't come into their home if they have a Christmas tree up. I mean, just some of the simple things, not even just the Santa Claus stuff, just
stuff. Jesus did come and say, I'm going to pit mother against daughter-in-law, father against son, and so on.
Yeah. And that's what they would quote. Absolutely. They would quote those words.
Well, that makes sense. I mean, isn't that what we're at risk? It's the common sense Christianity that is more harmful than good.
Yeah.
Where that sort of thing can take hold and say, well, yeah, maybe, you know, maybe they got a point there, right?
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Okay. They don't divorce either, do they?
Oh, yes. I actually know Jehovah's Witnesses that have been encouraged to get divorces.
Well, that would be from an unbelieving spouse, though, right?
Either an unbelieving spouse or a spouse that is looking into the false prophecies. They definitely do have divorce. We've worked with many family members that have had divorced loved ones. Sometimes they're active witnesses. Again, this you are disfellowshipped if you begin to research the false prophecies, if you begin to talk about what you're learning regarding what Christians teach. They're never supposed to take tracts from Christians. They're not supposed to research for the truth from a Christian perspective.
Well, that's because they put such a high price on getting caught, where you can be completely cut out of your family if they find out you're going outside of the Bible and practice.
I remember teaching a seminar at the Culting of Christianity seminar some years ago, and two women were there that were researching. They were active Jehovah's Witnesses. They were researching the truth, what Christians really teach and some of these false prophecies. And they told us at that time their two teenage daughters turned them in to the elders because they found out they were doing this research. They were then disfellowshipped, and their own teenage children had turned them in. It's like being in a communist country.
Well, I was going to say that reminds me of another story from history.
Who you can turn people in on. It's very, very challenging and sad.
I was talking with one of the young fellows who's a seminarian here at Concordia, where KFUO happens to be housed. And he said that he'd learned a technique years ago that if you wanted to shoo a couple of these folks off of your doorstep very quickly, tell them that you used to belong to the Jehovah's Witnesses. Because that's right. If you're an apostate, they're not supposed to talk to you at all.
That is absolutely right. Now, I never heard anybody say
he said that or invite them in for a cup of coffee because they don't take in caffeine or things like that as well. They're not supposed to smoke. They're very law oriented.
Very law oriented. Yes.
You know, again, drawing great similarities to other non-Christian religions.
Right. That's interesting. Yes. And if you're if you used to be a Jehovah's Witness and now are a Christian, you would be disfellowshipped. You are considered an apostate at that point. And they are not to talk to them, whether they're family members or not. Now, we used to work a lot with Dr. Jeff Schwemm, who's an ex-Jehovah's Witness. He used to be a regular guest on the program. We haven't had him on for a while. But his whole family won't talk to him because he is no longer a Jehovah's Witness. Okay. Happens all the time.
505-7850, 505-7850, locally here in St. Louis, 1-800-730-2727. If you're listening to us outside of the metro area or on the World Wide Web at Worldwide KFUO, Kay Meyer, president, founder, and radio voice of Family Shield Ministries, is my guest. The bigger discussion is about witnessing. We're getting specifically into Jehovah's Witnesses. So let's get to sort of the meat and potatoes of the discussion here, Kay. I've had the knock on the door. There's someone standing there, and they say, "Have you ever heard of?" What's my response? I'm going to say, "Well, let me tell you something. I'm a Lutheran, and 1539 Martin Luther." No, you're shaking your head. It's radio. They can't see you. But you're shaking your head at me in that motherly way that my wife often does.
Yeah.
What am I doing wrong with that?
Well, first of all, I firmly believe that there's not just one cookie cutter way to witness, but pray now, because if you're a committed Christian that knows God's word, God's going to end up bringing somebody to your door or bringing you into a situation where you will have an opportunity to witness. I don't believe that it is a good idea to say I'm a Lutheran, because they pit all the different Christian denominations against each other and use that as a hook to say, well, you know, none of you Christians, you're not united on anything but us, the Jehovah's Witnesses. They use the same Watchtower magazine throughout the world, the same article that week. What you do want to say is you want to make sure you have an opportunity to share the law and gospel. I encourage people not to get into a debate. Please don't argue with them, but a debate about the small minor doctrines. Focus on Jesus Christ. Who is Jesus? What has he done for you? The gospel message. Talk about sin and grace. They don't understand it because they don't teach that Jesus Christ, well, first of all, they say he died on a torture stake. They're against crosses and, you know, all kinds of issues. They believe in three separate existences of Jesus. So just, if you can articulate the gospel message of Jesus Christ, do it. Because that is the power of God for salvation, when the Holy Spirit works through the word as you share it. But they believe in three separate existences of Jesus. Before his birth, he was Michael the Archangel, a God. When he was on earth, he was only a man. He was not Michael the Archangel. He was not a God. And then after his death, and they don't believe in a resurrection, they believe in a recreation, he was again a spirit person, Michael the Archangel, a God, lowercase g. This is totally wrong. This is not what the Bible says. So get to the basics. The law, yes. And I can't say that I've ever had good discussions with any Jehovah's Witnesses on the law because, again, as I said earlier, they think they're good people. But share it anyway. It's like, you just share it anyway because it's the power of God.
Well, should I be stern? Should I shake my finger and correct them? Or is it a loving nature that you should have? Do they respond to that? What's the better way of addressing them? Or like you said, does it depend on who's standing at the door at the time?
I think we should always share our faith in love. And I think arguing doesn't get us very far. It is almost impossible to have a conversation with an active Jehovah's Witness without getting into a debate. And I want to classify a debate versus an argument. Again, you need to know the Word of God, because it is dangerous to get into a lengthy discussion with Jehovah's Witness if you don't know anything. And I don't encourage everybody to witness, but at the door, share what God brings to your mind. And there's lots of Bible verses that you can share. Stephen said, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." That's a prayer. But it's also Stephen was dying, and he knew his soul was going to be with the Lord. That one little Bible verse takes two of their teachings: one, that you can't pray to Jesus because he isn't God, and two, that your soul doesn't go on to be with the Lord when you die. And eliminates it. So if God would bring that verse to your mind, you could share it. And again, what does the Lord guide you to do? But yes, do it in love.
It brings to mind a question. Why is your organization called Family Shield?
Well, the name is based on Ephesians 6:16, take up the shield of faith. And yeah, a lot of times people ask us that. The name is based on the fact that we need to shield our families from dangerous teachings and dangerous beliefs. And the cults are some of those. There's certainly many other things in the world that are challenging for families as well. Pornography, you know, jumping into all kinds of other issues. But at the core is knowing God's word, knowing that we're sinners in need of daily forgiveness.
And this is not because Nice K. Meyer says this is a good thing to do. We're commanded by Scripture. And I know I take that word very considerate when I say commanded, because often a command to us is an admonition for our own benefit. Mm-hmm. It's not a you shall do this, because right. Then you're falling into the trap of the Jehovah's Witness as a law. But it's for our own good, our own benefit, that we are told we should know, we should be prepared to have an answer for the hope and the faith that is within us.
Absolutely.
So now, and continue to talk to these people, they have a technique when they go around. They're not usually alone, are they?
They're not usually alone.
And that's in case one of them should happen to run into someone like you.
They usually go out in pairs. And normally, this isn't always the case, but one of those people that are coming to your door is in training. And so figure out which one doesn't seem to know as much as the other, and talk to the one that's in training. I've had people, and again, my house has been marked for years, but I've had lots of, sometimes God just brings them anyway. They forget to check the papers, and others at other times just come. But I've had many opportunities to witness to those that do come in my door. But yes, they will normally come in twos. Many times people that are trying to witness will get frustrated because the first time around, they are not looking to come in for a long discussion. So they just want to kind of, they have to keep track of their numbers and how many people they visit. I mean, this is a requirement. They must go door to door. That is a requirement. That's a law requirement for them.
If you invite them to come back?
They will. Unless you know a lot, then they don't always. I can't tell you how many times I've gotten into discussion with them. Maybe they've been there 20 minutes and all of a sudden they have somebody waiting in the car for them. That is a tool they use to get away when they don't have answers or they don't want to continue a discussion. There is something that I use called a setup tactic with Jehovah's Witnesses. Do we have time for me to share a little bit about
We've got
that?
About 6-7 minutes. Okay. I think we're good. Go.
This is something that you can only use if you know what they teach and then also what Christians teach. But sometimes people say, that seems kind of tricky. But it's getting them to acknowledge one of their beliefs that is false, and then taking them to a Bible verse that will show them that it's false. So let's say with the Bible verse, John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I will ask them, well, now let's talk a little bit about that verse. So you believe that Jesus is a God, with a lowercase g, because that's what their translation has, and you believe he's a separate God from Jehovah, the Father. And they will always, if you've looked at that verse and you say yes. And then I'll take them to a translation, a verse in, after they've said yes, they have acknowledged what they believe and teach about Jesus. He is a separate God, lower, lesser God than Jehovah, not the same God. So they have two gods, a big God and a little God. That's against Scripture. And then I'll take them to Isaiah, where it says there is only one God, there is only one Savior, and that's in the Old Testament. And I'll say, now, you know, look in your Bible. What does your Bible say? And well, I happen to know that their New World Translation in that Isaiah verse says the same thing. And I'll say, well, you can't have... The Bible says there's only one God, not two gods. And you just said Jesus is a lesser, smaller God. how can this be? And they normally, you know, this is what we call a setup tactic, where you are actually taking them after they've said what they believe and teach, then you take them to a verse that totally makes that null and void.
Well, you're not going to convert them on the doorstep right then there. What you're really looking to do,
trying to put doubts into their minds,
to get them to think about
doubt, make them think, and bring them back to the Word of God. Because even my New World Translation, which I have here, was lost in a kingdom hall for a year. And I had gone through the New Testament before it got lost and marked every place in it that upheld the deity of Jesus Christ. Because even though it's not a recognized version, it's still the Word of God. And God used it. And he still uses it today. And there are people that have been active Jehovah's Witnesses, one that I met at a convention I went to, who his job was to translate the New World Translation from English into Spanish. And in the midst of translating this unrecognized Bible, he became a Christian. Well, the Holy Spirit worked through his word, as he does, even an unrecognized version.
Let me ask you a question that some people may have on their mind right now. And it's just the nature of the world we live in today. You know, in this age, Kay, and in light of all that we've discussed so far today, what would you say to someone who believes that it's, you know, uncertain? No, I'm not uncertain, but it's unchristian to question somebody else's beliefs. I mean, today, that's the biggest wet blanket I see thrown on people that want to go out and talk to people about their faith, is that it's just not the politically correct thing to do. You should not challenge other people. What would you say to them?
Well, I think we have to do it in love. We have to do it with concern. But God tells us to go and make disciples of all nations. And if we believe what the Bible really says, we know that only those that have faith in Jesus Christ are going to go to heaven. And those that are outside of that faith are going to go to hell. And we don't like to talk about that, but it's a reality. It's something that's in the Bible. Jesus talked about that. And so we need to learn how to share our faith in love with all people, knowing that we don't want them to be outside of that body of Christ.
Okay, I appreciate you coming in. We've got about a half a minute left. Family Shield Ministries, give your website, but then also answer quickly this question. What child is this that we celebrate at Christmas?
Family Shield's website is www.familyshieldministries.com. What child is this we celebrate at Christmas? We celebrate Emmanuel, God with us, the incarnation of Jesus Christ. He who was God came into this world, became man, and dwelt among us. He suffered and died for our sins. He is Emmanuel.
Kay Meyer, what a wonderful way to end the program. This is Roland Lettner in for Tom Baker, Law and Gospel, Family Shield Ministries. Kay Meyer, thank you very much for coming in today.
Thanks.
Contact them if you want more information. We'll be back.
Listen to Law and Gospel with Tom Baker, Monday through Friday at 1:05 p.m. on AM 850 KFUO. You can write Pastor Tom at AM 850 KFUO, 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. Or at this email address, lawgospel@lawgospel.com.